for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, July the 2nd, 2007. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Ruler Spirits, Ahab and Jezebel.
I don't know how long-winded Carla's going to be this morning, but she's going to have plenty of time. Well, anyway, she's been here so long that she's got her own apartment here.
And sometimes I use it when I'm not even here. I mean, when it's not camp.
Hello.
Which is most of the time. Okay, I lost my train of thought. Where'd you take it? Okay, the Word says that we have been given power over all the power of the enemy. And one day I had this little vision while I was sitting in my prayer chair, and there were demons around, and somebody walked by. It wasn't necessarily me. It was just a believer walked by, and the demons were terrified, and they just walked on by, and they were all like, oh, she doesn't even know the power. You know, we do have a lot of power. But anyway, we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take power over all the power of the enemy. I send out the mighty warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against the people of God, against this meeting, against the word going forth, and all the saints all over the world. In Jesus' name, I scramble the plans and the assignments of the enemy. I now remember my train of thought. You know, we have a full moon. I don't know if it's going down. I know it's been full for the last couple of nights. And that is a very important night for witches and satanic worshipers. Did y'all know that? The new moon, really important. This is not even what I'm talking about, sort of. But every time now I see the new moon, a full moon. Well, what is a new moon? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I looked it up, the new moon, and it was like at the same time there was a full moon on some kind of little calendar. But anyway, what kind of moon, it doesn't even matter what kind of moon. I've made it my business to begin to scramble the plans and the assignments that the witches and the wizards are putting forth all the time, when we don't even know it. There is so much activity in the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, that we have no earthly idea. But we need to wake up and begin to come against those activities from the kingdom of darkness towards the kingdom of light. Okay? So I wanted to do that first. Now, I'm going to talk about a ruler spirit. Well, I say it's a ruler spirit. It's one of two ruler spirits that is responsible for the destruction of marriage and family. I call the two ruler spirits that do that Ahab and Jezebel. And they happen to be married. In the Bible, the story of Jezebel and Ahab is found in 1 Kings chapter 16 through 21. So in those five chapters, it tells you all about Ahab and Jezebel. And then Jezebel is mentioned again in 2 Kings 9, 30 through 37. And the last time Jezebel is mentioned is Revelations 2, 20. This was a real eye-opener for me, and I'm going to open that up and read it. Revelations 2, 20. This is when Jesus is talking to the seven churches. In verse 18, it says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira, what is that? Okay, thank you. He writes, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works." Now, all of those are good things. And the last to more than the first. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now see, the woman Jezebel that he's talking about, he's not really talking about Ahab's wife, because she's been long gone. But it is the spirit of Jezebel, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And we've heard lots of teachings about Jezebel, but I did a teaching on Ahab last summer, so if you want the counterpart to this, you can find it here at Lake Hamilton. But Jezebel demands equal time, so she's getting it this morning. Only she's not going to like it, because I'm going to expose her kingdom, shake her throne, topple it over, and hopefully kick her out of the homes here, and whoever hears this message, because she's a very destructive spirit. I know her very well, because I used to be a Jezebel. I didn't even know about the spirit of Jezebel. This is how I discovered the spirit of Jezebel. I didn't even know anything about deliverance whenever I was delivered from Jezebel, actually. Reading the Old Testament, and reading about Abraham and Sarah, and they're going through the land, and Abraham says, "Now you tell them you're my sister because you're good looking, and they'll kill me for you." And then so many chapters later, I'm reading the same story, the same words, and I thought, "I have read this before. I wonder why they're repeating this." So I flip back. Well, lo and behold, that's Abraham, and this is Isaac. Well, like father, like son. So I thought, you know, if this is true, like father, like son, then I wonder what things are in me that is like my father or my mother. Or so it sent me on this journey of self-examination. And I got a piece of notebook paper, and I drew a line down the middle, and I had all my good traits on one side and all my not-so-good traits on the other side, and I needed an extra sheet of paper for that side. Because what tends to happen is these spirits are given room to operate because we don't know it's a spirit in the first place. I always thought that was just my personality. I mean, I had good sides of my personality, but I had a lot of bad sides. But as I wrote these things down, even on the good things, yeah, I got this, I can see this, I got this from my dad or my mother, my grandmother, or I have an aunt like that. And on this side, it was like, oh, this is so my daddy, and this is so my mother's not like this, but man, all of her sisters are, and you know, I could have been one of their kids, but that's how the generational thing works, because out of two people, there's 32 on this side that your gene pool comes from, and 32 on this side, I think if I did the math right, I wasn't very good in school. But anyway, so out of 64 people, you have this trickle-down gene pool that makes up who you are. Now, I always thought when we had children that it would be me and Mike combined, and that's what our children would be like. But no, I have, you know, a child that's just exactly like one of my brothers. Not anything like, you know, somewhat, but in other areas, they picked up these other traits because it came down the gene pool. So we have generational spirits that travel in families, just like cancer travels in families and alcoholism and that kind of thing, like blue eyes and curly hair, straight hair, those things. We understand those inheritances, but we don't fully understand those demon spirits that have been attached to our family line for centuries. So they're given like free reign because we don't even know they're there. I didn't. So as a young married woman, I begin to see these things in other people in my family, and I didn't like it. Now, what am I going to do with that? So I was a new Christian, so I just began to ask God to help me with these traits that I hated in myself. I did not want to behave in certain ways, but when a situation would come up, whew, I'd be way over here, and all of a sudden something would happen, and just like that, I am somebody else that I didn't like. Quick-tempered, mean, let's see if I can remember some more. That was 20 years ago, so I'm glad that she's gone, but, I have the list. Okay, here's the manifestations. And I was not every one of these, but most. Bossy, aggressive, pushy, forceful, overbearing, domineering, would plot, you know, to set up things to have them work just like I wanted them to. I was a plotter. Conniving, manipulative, controlling. Now, you know what? When I was a little girl, I was none of these things. I lived in a godly home. My dad was the head of the house. He was a disciplinarian, and I was scared of the razor strap. So I was very obedient, very obedient. I mean, my dad could just look at me and I would tremble. What did I do? But, of course, there was that anger factor too that, you know, I was a little afraid of. But whenever I got married, I was so naive. I thought all men were like my daddy. And then I got married and he was nothing like my daddy. I mean, there was no leadership. He's a wonderful man. I'm crazy about him. But he was not a leader. Therefore, Jezebel, who runs in my family, found an opportunity and a doorway to get in and be Jezebel in our house. And I mean, she came in with a vengeance. Okay, now I want to look at Jezebel. I can already tell you I'm way off my notes, so help me, Jesus. Okay, let me see. Jezebel, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 16, 21. Yeah, chapter 21. Sorry. We're going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. He was a smart man, because we have allowed our inheritance to be tampered with. I'm talking about the inheritance that Jesus Christ has given us through his shed blood. We don't possess it. We've allowed it to be tampered with. But Naboth said, You will not have the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, this is Ahab, and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So basically, he was easily discouraged. He just went and crawled in his bed and gave up. But Jezebel, the wife, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? You think that's the way she said it? No. Jezebel doesn't talk like that. She's in there saying, What is the matter with you? Okay. He said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. No. She said, Aren't you the king or not? You are the ruler of this kingdom. All you have to do is say, I'm taking this vineyard. Hey, you don't know how to do it. I'll show you how to get that vineyard. I'll show you. I'll get it. I can do it. I'll get it done. I know Jezebel well. Poor Mike. That's what I used to do. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders, to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now she was stopping at nothing to get that vineyard. Even to the point of having false witnesses come up and lie about him so that he would be stoned to death to get that vineyard. Okay, so let me go back to the manifestations. Secretive, manipulative. See, she was going to manipulate things in order to get that vineyard. She will lie to self-protect. She's outspoken, opinionated, has something to say about everything. And usually with such authority, because she's right. Now, I say she because the spirit was named after the woman in the Bible. But Jezebel can be in a man too. It's not, you know, spirits are neither male nor female. So if they will use a man as well as a woman, it depends on which one is most cooperative. So in a marriage, I find most of the time that there is a Jezebel woman and an Ahab man, or a Jezebel man and an Ahab woman. That's where we come up with that saying, opposites attract. And we think it's a good thing. Well, it is. It can be. If it's under the lordship of God, the weaknesses of Ahab and the strengths of Jezebel, if they are put under the lordship of God, work like this. And then you become a good whole, balanced. But if it's not under the lordship, which most of the time we're married, but we're not under the lordship in our marriages or in our personalities, our strong spirits, so it is just utter chaos. And it will tear up a family. And Satan hates family because he can never have one. See? So his plan is to destroy the family because that's the strength of the church and the nation. But we have a weak church and a weak nation because these spirits have not been dealt with. Okay. So I'll say she for Jezebel. Has something to say about everything and with authority and is right. And you know, she doesn't even want to be questioned about it. She's nosy. She loves to know everything. And then she uses that info for her own good. She can come across as a know-it-all, arrogant. And she loves knowing it all. She wants to do it all. And she'll take credit for it all, if she can. Anytime there's anything said, she's going to one-up you. I remember that was, you know, some of the things on my list. I hated that I could not just listen to somebody. Usually, they're talking about their new car or their new house and or whatever, and I would be so jealous that I couldn't even share their joy with them. I would just be so jealous that snide remarks would come out. Well, it must be nice to have that kind of money, you know. I hated that. And I had to just really starve her to death. Whenever God began to show me all these things, I had to begin to practice. You know, everything is in our minds. We say creatures of habit, which is true. We have a lot of bad habits that we practice all the time, and that was a bad habit. So I decided that in order to not be like that, I was going to have to practice being the opposite. And asking God, not only being the opposite, but Lord, let it be the true attitude of my heart. I don't want to just, you know, flip it. I want it to be the true attitude of my heart. Make it real. So then when people would say, oh, guess what? We're buying a new house. Well, it would rise up, but I would have to slap her down and just go, that is wonderful. Where are y'all moving to? And, you know, it was you have to practice the things of God. And then it will become, you know, if you just obey, he'll get there behind you and make it real. Okay. Competitive, when you're not even competing with them, they're competitive. And they're going to go after something just so you won't have it. They don't even want it. It's just to keep you from having it. She's wicked. That spirit is wicked. Expert at everything. Has a better way to do it than you're doing it. Can get the job done. And usually will just say, well, just let me do it. That was, you know, and usually Jezebels are tired all the time because they're trying to do it all. Will not admit a wrong. And got to have the last word. Even if they're outside of the house and don't even know you're saying it. Got to have the last word. Keeps a list of every wrong and brings it up at every opportunity. Hot-tempered. In fact, I told Mike, he says, well, what are you going to teach on? I said, well, I've got a Jezebel teaching here. And he said, oh, that ought not be hard for you. Angry all the time because she wants control over everything. And most of the time she can't have control over everything, so you just stay mad and frustrated all the time. There's an ugly streak, a mean streak, and there's a nice, nasty thing going on. Oh, they'll be so nice to you. And underneath it is a pool of nasty that you don't even want to see. I don't have that anymore, y'all. Hallelujah, that's right. Gets their feelings hurt really easy, but hurts other people really easily, quickly. Uses a silent treatment when she doesn't get her way. She'll withdraw herself, and if that doesn't work, she'll throw a tantrum. She becomes loud and obnoxious, just, you know. And then, the reason for that is to make everybody else just back off. Just let it go, let it go, let it go. And if that doesn't work, she'll cry. She's very suspicious-minded, reads something into everything. She's always checking them. You know, if they say, I'm going to go here, well, we're going to find out. Jezebel's going to find out. If she has to get in the car and drive to see or make a phone call, she's very suspicious-minded, has a wild imagination, and will accuse you even when you're innocent. Is driven. Everything has to be planned to a T. You know what I hated about her? She would never let me enjoy anything. I spent the first 30 years of my life miserable because of this spirit. This spirit will keep you miserable. She will not let you have a good time. No. No flexibility. It's my way or the highway. Bitter and resentful. Rebellious. Stubborn. Will not submit to authority. Is divisive. She'll try to overthrow you. This is a huge spirit in the church. It's what causes all church splits. Loves to fight. Boy, that was one thing that used to just drive me crazy about Mike. He would not argue. He would just be walking away from me, and I'm right behind him. I tell you, if it had been switched and I'd been the man, I would have slugged me. I would have. Sometimes I think I just would see how far he would go without hitting me. And he never has hit me. But sometimes I wish he would have hit me to shut me up. Because when I started praying about this, Lord, change this in me. Okay, so I would make a plan. Okay, the next time that happens, just like with, oh, that's wonderful. Okay, the next time that happens, I'm going to react like this. And man, it would happen, and I could not do it. There I would go. And my spirit woman is up here going, shut up. Just shut up. But I couldn't do it. It was insanity. He would not fight with me. Venomous, sharp-tongued, cut you to the core. See, while I was there, every time I would be writing and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the times I did that, Lord. Belittling, critical, judgmental, complaining, constant complaining. I got tired of hearing my own voice complain. Never satisfied. Whining. Can't be pleased. Points out the imperfections. No matter what, Mike used to say, I'd wash the car, but if I missed one little spot, she'd show it to me. And I hated that. Deceptive, lies, whatever it takes. Justifies self and blames others. It's never, never her fault. Usually they'll have a religious spirit because there's not a love there, so it's the law. Letter of the law. To the point that it killeth. You know, they'll pick out all the wrong things, just like the Pharisees. Places demands and uses threats. Uses slander and character assassination. She is insanely jealous. Oh, gosh. Can't be happy for someone else's happiness. Possessive, smothering, overprotective, and they call it love. But I just do that because I love you. Selfish, has to be the center of attention, wants to be noticed. And if they can't have the center of attention, well, they'll get sick. Whether it's real or imagined, because if you get sick, even though you're a tyrant and everybody just wishes you'd go somewhere and shut up, mind your own business and shut up. But if you get sick, then you get compassion or, you know, attention. They'll get worried about you, so they'll be, you know, attentive. Jezebels have a lot of back problems and a lot of headaches. They're seductive or they're frigid. They're either seductive or frigid. They're either over-sensuous or they're not sensuous at all. And that because of that, there's a lot of sexual sin because she uses that as power. It's really, when you roll it all up into one big ball, it is flat-out witchcraft. There's a spirit of hatred. She really hates the things of God. You know, she had all the prophets killed. She hates the man of God, if he's real. She hates things of genuine godliness. She's an idolater because really she has made herself a god. She can be a man-hater. So she likes to emasculate the man. And in marriage, that's damaging. Because when you emasculate your man, it causes a lot of problems. He can't be the man when you emasculate him. She can be a child hater, or sometimes she's super child lover. That's the nice, nasty thing. See, sometimes it's just a complete contradiction. Murder and suicide. And I say that because she murdered. And usually there's so much anger and rage that if it was let fly, she'd kill. Now, this was true of me. I always wished that I were the man. Because you know, when I got married and he was not a leader, I thought, I should have been the man. You know, I should have been the man. I could be a better man than him. See how that works? So he is belittled. He's constantly put down. Nothing's ever good enough. It's just a good thing that Mike always had a really good self-image, because I wasn't able to destroy that, and I praise God for that. He knew who he was, so it didn't bother him. For a long time, I resented being a woman, because in my eyes, the man had it made. You know, he goes off to work. I'm here with the kids all day. That was hard. Let me tell you, raising children is the hardest job in the world. It's constant. You are really nothing but a custodian. We went out, we flew up to northwestern Arkansas last weekend, and we were eating breakfast, and there was, sat behind us, a young woman with three young children. And Mike was facing the woman. The children were behind me, and he said, "She doesn't look very happy." And I said, "I can tell you she's not." She's not. How could she be? I mean, you know, we have this beautiful picture of how fulfilling it is to raise children. And it is. But it's also the hardest, dirtiest, most frustrating job in the world. So there they were. And, you know, she's constantly, "Here, give me that." You know, they're all this, it's just constant busyness. I said, "She's not happy." But I can remember when my children were little, in that stage, and these older women would come up to me and say, "Honey, this is the best time of your life." And I would go, "God, it's got to be better." "Oh, yes, honey. Right now they're stepping on your feet, but when they grow up, they will step on your heart." And I would say, "No." I'd walk away. "Lord, I don't believe that's true. I just refuse to believe that." Well, they step on your heart. That's just part of it, y'all. That's just part of it. I'm not being a doom and gloomer, but if you have children and you raise children, there will be times they will step on your heart and your feet and everything else. Okay, because of this imbalance, the woman taking the man's place, this spirit of Jezebel, it can cause in children sometimes a wrong impression of how men ought to be and how women ought to be. And because of that, sometimes little boys have been so dominated that they admire their mother, they admire the strength, and so it causes them to be attracted to men. It can be a cause of homosexuality and lesbianism. Mike said, "You know what I don't understand about lesbians? They don't want the man, they just want to look like the man." And I said, "Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. They dress like a man. Want to look, but see, that's part of the deception. If I could be the man, then I would have the man's anointing, the position." And sometimes it causes the men to be effeminate, even though they're not homosexual. They're just, there's an effeminate thing there. Okay, let's see. Okay, this is, it really is idolatry, because they have made themselves to be a god. I saw this, actually. Here's another confession. I like to make public confessions. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. That's why I'm so healthy. But something happened about 2 weeks ago, and my daughter wanted me to drive her halfway to Houston to meet somebody, and I told her, "Okay." And Mike said, "Now, you know that this never works out the way you think it's going to. There's always a problem in meeting, and there's the time element's not right." I said, "I know, I know. But I'm going to, instead of driving back, I'm just going to go on because that was real close to my mother's. I'll just spend the night with Mom and drive back tomorrow. Okay. So we get down there to the meeting place. And the other person had just left their place. So that means an hour of sitting and waiting. And it was her and her little girl who's two. And it was 8:30 at night. She was getting ready for bed. She's cranky. So we're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. I got madder and madder and madder. Now, I offered to do it, but I was really angry for being in the situation. And it was almost like, how dare them do this to me? And I saw the idolatry. Ooh. I really thought about that for a long time. Well, what am I? I am suddenly this God that they should not, you know, I just saw it as idolatry. I hadn't quite filtered it out to know exactly how it works. But it's an idolatry thing. We become our own God. Maybe that's not a Jezebel thing. Maybe it's just a thing altogether. We make ourselves a God and think that these things should not come into our lives. So it will open you up for an Antichrist spirit to come in. And in a false anointing, you know, the first time I invited a lady here several years ago, and Doc was praying for her, and he was calling out the false anointing. And she left and never wanted anything to do with me or this place again. And I guess she thought that I felt like she had a false anointing. I didn't even know what a false anointing was at the time. You know, we should have an explanation sheet, false anointing, this is what it is. But, you know, all these years later, now I understand what a false anointing is. And if you're fooling with witchcraft, you can have an anointing from the kingdom of darkness. So that's where the false anointing comes in. So that was an eye-opener for me. So, you know, when someone's calling out a false anointing, it doesn't mean that they think that your prayer language is false. You know, that's, I believe, what happened to her, and she was very offended. And she doesn't live near me, and I've just let God, Jezebel would have fixed it. But now, you know, I just say, Lord, fix it. I was the fixer-upper years ago. And see, that's another thing where idolatry can come in, because Jezebels want to fix it. And all you have to do, she manipulates, but she's also easily manipulated because she's such a get-it-done person, that's who people will come to and just drop a hint, and man, off she goes with it. She's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll go to that person. I'll see to it. You know, she's a busybody. So that's an idolatry thing. It can open you up for Antichrist spirits, deception, unbelief, doubt, and false anointings. And then she hates everything that is feminine. She really hates truly feminine women because they are weak to her. But you know what? That's why I resented being the woman, because she was the weak one when I was a Jezebel. That's how Jezebel looks at godly women. They're weak. However, since I have gotten in my place as the woman, God has shown me how powerful that place is. Not only is it powerful, it is a wonderful place to be. Under the protection of your husband. I tell you, I don't worry about any of that stuff anymore. It has freed me up to just be free and happy, and taking care of the things that God has anointed me to take care of. That's what'll wear you out when you're trying to do stuff you're not anointed to do. I volunteered for the kitchen help a couple of camps ago. I wasn't going to teach, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to offer my services in the kitchen because I like to be helpful. I didn't last a whole day. Well, I did, but I didn't quit till the next day. But I learned really quickly that when God puts someone in a place, there is an anointing that goes with it so that you are able to do it, and it is a pleasure. Well, volunteers don't get that anointing. Well, I didn't anyway. I won't speak for everybody. So, if we get in our place, and ladies, the woman has a place, and the man has a place, and if we could ever get in our right places and help each other in that place, we would have a much better family life, church life, personal life. Because I learned in my search for happiness, because isn't that what we all want? We just want to be happy. We don't want to be tormented. We don't want to be burdened. We just want to be happy. And, you know, Jesus, that's what life is. And life more abundantly is finding out who you are, finding out what your place is, and then getting in that place and operating in that place. And in that is happiness. That's, if you want to be happy, that's how you do it. It doesn't have anything to do with setting goals and reaching goals, because I had goals set. My goal was to get married and have babies. And I got married and had babies, and it was a nightmare. Because it wasn't, you know, wasn't right. It wasn't in the right. Now it's getting there now. You know, now it's, we're very happily married. But what was that? How did I get into that? Setting goals. Thank you, Kathy. Stay with me. I had those goals set, and you know, we program our kids. Well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And what are you going to study in college? And so they've got all these things that they've got to do, got to plan, the pressures, and trying to figure out what they want to be and what they want to do. And then they think that that's what they want to do, and they follow those goals, and they get to the end of the goals, and they're not happy there. No matter what your goal is, because that's not where happiness is. It's like the pot at the end of the rainbow. When you get there, the pot's gone, and so is the rainbow. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. She hates everything domestic. You know why? Because that's her place. It's rebellion. It's just total rebellion. Don't want to do that, because it's just rebellion. I hear these people all the time. Well, I would much rather mow the grass than clean house. Well, sure. That's because you're supposed to clean house. They don't want to do that. They want to mow the grass. Or they want a job outside the home, let someone else come in and clean the house. But that's not what was supposed to happen. That's just mechanics. Anybody can clean your house. But when you're in your place and there is a love for the home and for your family, then that feeling permeates the whole house. That atmosphere of love. That house is supposed to be a place of peace and refuge for everybody in it. So the husband will want to come home after work. What happens now is the husband comes home from work and somebody drops a load of clothes to be folded. You know, because she's out working. Hey, this ought to be 50-50. Well, that's what the world tells us. We see where 50-50's gotten us. I think 50% of all marriages end in divorce. It's 50-50, all right. She wants the husband to do the housework. We see this on television. The husband is the idiot. I just won't even watch TV anymore. It's so offensive to me. So disrespectful. So blasphemous. And if the husband's not the idiot, I mean, if mom's not the smart one, the kids are the smart one, and the parents are the idiots. I'm telling you, television is feeding some really bad stuff. She wants to put her responsibilities on the man. And she undermines his masculinity. And that's God's order. Okay. Self-hatred. There was a lot of self-hatred there because there's confusion. And so anytime you're confused, you're going to end up in a mess. And I was sorely confused. And so I hated my life. I ended up in a really bad place. Could that be from the womb? You know, because a lot of women, back in my mother's day, they had no choices. Now, we have choices, but as Marvin told us last night, a lot of those choices are not good. We think they're good choices, but they're not good choices. So back in the day when my mother or even her mother was having babies, a lot of those women didn't want children. But that's what women did. But it was because they were out of order. Under God's order, it would have been right and blessed, and there would have been an anointing on it. But back in those days, I mean, some people married just to get out of their own homes. You know, they were poor, and they just wanted to finally have a place to live and food to eat. And there were a lot of marriages made that were not God's will. Then they get pregnant, and they don't want the baby. So all these spirits enter the baby in the womb, and then they grow up, and they have all of these spirits from the womb that they're living with. Rejection and self-rejection and the spirit of abortion, because really the whole time the mother was pregnant, she's wishing she wasn't pregnant. So that spirit, even though she didn't abort the baby, the spirit of abortion comes in, and then her daughter may go off and have an abortion. See how it works? And we don't even know these things are operating. And we think, you know, we never told anybody that we did. But see, the things that are secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And what I've seen in my life, and I know it's in everybody else's too because we're nobody special, is the things that you kept secret are being lived out by your kids. They're being lived out by your children. That's how it's being shouted from the rooftops. The whole world is seeing things that you thought you were keeping secret. There's a lot of sexual dysfunction in a marriage where Jezebel is allowed to operate freely. But boy, is it ever bad if she's not allowed to operate freely. You know what happens when you're not allowed to, when a Jezebel is not allowed to operate? She gets really sick and crippled, and because of pent-up anger and resentment and frustration, and that body begins to just crumple. There's male hatred. She's usually dissatisfied, the husband or the wife. Someone with a Jezebel spirit working in them may turn to whoredom because they see sex as power. And that's really what she wants, is power. Sexual dysfunction. May have a real problem with masturbation because she can take care of herself better than the man can. That's kind of nitty-gritty, but there it is. Who needs a man? I can do it better myself. I mean, they encourage that now. In schools, the books and counselors, sex counselors and marital counselors, I mean, they'll show you what to buy. Self-gratification and fantasy. Lots of fantasy. Reading those books, those novels that are so steamy. Then there's all sorts of bondages, addictions, because really Jezebel's in a lot of pain. She's not happy. So she'll drink to cover her pain, or take drugs, or overeat. Find pleasure in eating, so we overeat. Prostitution, or they become a workaholic. Career woman, overachievers, obsessive to the max, overkill. So I want to point out a few things that really stuck out in the scripture to me about Jezebel. We've already read the scriptures. Now you can read those five chapters on your own, but I thought it was interesting that Jezebel, who was the daughter of a Baal worshiper, he was totally godless. I thought it was interesting that she ended up married to the king of Israel, God's people. She managed to get to marry someone in power. And not just anybody, God's king, the Israel over Israel, God's people. And this is how Jezebel is. She likes to be connected to the one in power. And usually she wants to join up with an Ahab because she can control him. So you'll find them hanging around the church leaders. They want to rub elbows with the church leaders. Because if they can get in with the church leader, they can gain control. And if they can't, they'll divide and conquer. She attacks, badgers, nags, bombards with questions, will question everything. Nosy makes everything her business, a busybody. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, study to be quiet and to do your own business. Boy, she is in everybody's business. She's one of those that goes like from house to house. That's in 1 Timothy 5:13. It says, now actually this is speaking of widows because their husbands had died. So they were uncovered. There was no head in the house anymore. No protector. So she would tend to get off into places she ought not be. But in 1 Timothy 5:13 it says, and withal, the widows, they learn idle wandering about from house to house. In other words, they use their time doing everything but what they should be doing. And not only that, being idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. If you remember on Little House on the Prairie, or was it? There was a nosy neighbor. There's on all of these shows you watch, there's usually a nosy neighbor, a busybody, that everybody goes, oh no, here she comes, you know, and she would always come in and get into people's business. That's that Jezebel spirit, jumping over to this house to see what's going on at your house. The ones that peek out the windows, you know, and are watching every move everybody makes. Soap operas are full of it. And I used to watch soap operas when I was young, but I don't watch them anymore because I had enough of my own misery. That got to be a real drag. But I know that there are a lot of young women that watch those and pick up ideas off of these shows. And it's feeding on poison, and it opens up the door for the Jezebel spirit to come in. Not only that, but movies, horror movies. Movies are an open door when you're watching those things for spirits to just slip in and cause you to be terrified, miserable, lustful, whatever you're watching, murderous. Like all these kids that are murdering and they're playing these murder games, sitting there 8 hours a day, murdering people and blowing stuff up, lying, cheating, sneaking around, plotting evil, committing adultery, just fornicating, bickering, vindictiveness, troublemaking. But Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things. And the rest of that is, and he will keep your hearts and minds. See, a lot of us have heart trouble and mind trouble, but it's because we're thinking on things that we should not be thinking on. So she belittles and she criticizes, she tears down instead of builds up. In the home, the man never does anything right, never makes the right decisions. And I appreciated what Marvin said last night. You know, for years I thought, okay, from moving from Jezebel to a submission, a place of submission, I started in a place of submission because I knew that the wife was to be submissive. So I thought that meant that I had to do everything my husband said. You know, we would go to parties and there would be like pot there, and I knew we shouldn't be there, but I thought because he said we're going to this party that I had to go. I didn't know that I could say or even tell him how I thought. You know, I would just go and be angry and everything. But in a marriage relationship, the husband and the wife, it is a partnership. But even though the husband is like, he's got 51% of the stock. The woman has 50% of the stock. But they make the decisions together. You tell them how you feel and what you think you should do, and then he tells you how he feels and what you think you should do. But then it's ultimately the husband's decision. And then the wife has to go along with it because he is the 51% shareholder and the head of the house. But a lot of women don't even know, and a lot of men don't know, that they should listen to their wife. Because, see, if you do it like this, it's going to be a good thing. So begin to operate in your marriage like that. Let it be a 50-51 partnership. Really, it's 50-50 and the wife yields to the husband. It's not even 50-51. But at the same time, ladies, at the same time, pray for your husbands. Pray for your husbands to have godly wisdom. Therefore, he can make godly decisions. I know that's made a huge difference. You know, 1 Corinthians 7 says, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband likewise. The husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Well, I know that those scriptures are talking about the sexual relationship, but it also is generally. The word power means just what it says, power. So under a godly prayer life, you can, I have said, prayed for my husband, Lord, I thank you that you've given me power over my husband's body. And I speak to that body right now to desire your will. If you pray that in a godly way, then you'll have godly results. But you don't use it in an ungodly way because then you cross over into witchcraft. And then you get yourself in trouble. So when you pray for your husband, you make sure it's in the will of God. Okay. Jezebel disdains. You know, in the story of David and Goliath, it said that Goliath disdained David. And that word means to disesteem. And that word means to emasculate. Webster's word for that is castrate. Stripped of power. Attacks your character. Causes him to doubt his position, his role, and his authority. That's what Jezebel does. She disdains the man. A synonym is despise, arrogant or haughty aversion to that which is regarded unworthy. So see, she's got herself up here, and she speaks to him from that position. It's a disdain. Webster says, a feeling of contempt for something regarded as beneath one. To look with scorn on. Sometimes it's just a look, ladies. The man can do it too, but that look is with scorn, and that means an emotion involving both anger and disgust. There it is, the anger and the disgust, like, oh, you idiot. You know, without saying it. It's a scornful look. It's contemptuous. It is contemptuous ridicule. To reject or refrain from because of disdain. So she'll... ignoring. She's so disgusted with him, she just won't even have anything to do with him. Like it can beat you down without even throwing a single blow. That's what disdain is. Leave you bleeding and wounded and powerless. She's cruel and ruthless and has you thinking you can't do anything right because she wants to keep you powerless and dependent on them and makes you feel guilty for breathing. The third thing was idolatry, because the spirit of Jezebel wants the Lord over everything and everybody, and she's unrepentant. In fact, any area that you have not submitted to God, in that area of your life, you are in idolatry. It's dangerous. Any area. I'm not even talking about Jezebel stuff. I'm talking about any area that you have not submitted to God is idolatry. And God hates that. You know why? Because it's rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And she's stubborn too, which is as iniquity and idolatry. Okay, the rebellion against God is idolatry. Anytime we choose our will over God's will, we're in idolatry. We make ourselves a god. That means we want to sit on the throne of our life and make our own decisions. In 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And witchcraft is using powers from the kingdom of darkness. Stubbornness means hard to convince, hard to persuade, hard to move to action, fixed and unyielding. Satan rebelled against God when he was Lucifer, right? He was the morning star. Opposed and resisted authority, resist by force, to feel or exhibit anger or revulsion and open defiance. Satan said, I will, I will, I will. So in rebellion, we're stubborn. Eve believed Satan's word over God's word. See, she was deceived. She took the place of decision making, and that opened her up to deception. And the last thing is that she had false responsibility. See, the king went to talk to Naboth about the vineyard, and the answer was no. Now, he didn't like it, but he went home and sulked. But she took the responsibility to get that vineyard for Naboth, and that is false responsibility. And in the church, the body of Christ, the spirit of Jezebel does not want you to obtain your inheritance. She's bold. She's controlling. She wants to obstruct the power of God. She wants to keep the spirit of God from flowing. So there will be interruptions that happen in... Sometimes, you know, you'll be in a service and the spirit is just flowing and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens. And she rears her head. And I'm going to tell you something God told me about a month ago. Something happened, another thing happened in my home, and I didn't like it at all. But even though it's like the question was asked, and I'm going, no, no, I said, yes. Everything in me was going like this, and out of my mouth I said, and the next morning I was angry about it. And the Lord said, you've got to stop being polite to the devil. And I said, what? You're too polite to the devil. And as I have begun to watch myself, I have found that I have been too polite to the devil. And we all have been too polite to the devil. Jesus was not polite to the devil. And when there was an activity going on, he confronted the devil. In church, we need to start confronting the devil. When he shows up in our meetings, when he shows up in our home, when he shows up in our children. My grandbaby, 2 years old, we were sitting out on the porch, and she had been so cute and so cooperative, and then all of a sudden, the no came out. Mm-mm. And I thought, well, let me just distract, you know, from that. And then I thought, what am I doing? Distract. I said, in the name of Jesus, I come against that rebellious spirit, and her little eyes go. I mean, she stopped what she was doing. You know, I was just going to try to distract her from stopping. But when I did that, buddy, she stopped. And those little eyes got big. And I'm not around her much because they don't live around us. But it just came out of me because I'm not going to be polite to the devil anymore. And I did it. And those little eyes got big. And when I got finished, she said, amen. And that shocked me as much. I was like, yes, amen. It was so cute. Amen. And now when she sees something she doesn't like, she goes, hey, she doesn't talk yet. I told Mike, I said, man, if I can get that in her at 2 years old, we'll have a powerful thing going on. Okay. So Jezebel stepped into her husband's shoes. She wrote letters to the elders and the nobles in Naboth's city. She falsely accused him of blaspheming God and the king, and the penalty was death by stoning. She used the king's seal. That is deception at the highest form. That is forgery. So Naboth was stoned to death. Jezebels are those in whom the spirit operates. Love to be known as powerful, effective, the one who will get the job done. She's easily manipulated to exercise that power with suggestion, and it is big old pride. very prideful. Gets involved when it's none of her business, she makes it her business. You know, a lot of times, because that spirit was so strong in me, and I was criticized for it, but now I'm criticized because I will not give her a foothold to the point that now people say, well, you don't get involved enough. No, I've just learned that I am not the Savior. I am not the Savior. I used to try to be the Savior. I'm not the Savior. And I, like that song we sang, have a God is great. I don't remember all the words to it. Strong, mighty, He can get it done. But I tell you what, if you have an area in your life where you've been praying and trying and dropping hints and pushing and pulling and all of these things, try just getting out of the way and let God be God. That's another form of idolatry. When we step in and try to get the husband saved, try to get our children saved, we are playing God, and it's idolatry. So turn them loose. Once I asked God, when I had gotten out, no longer Jezebel, but it was like, when, Lord, when? No, I was Jezebel at this time. When will he ever become the head of this house? And God said, when you stop. Okay. God will be real honest with you. Real honest with you. And you know what? Really, that place of being the woman, when we get in our place, that powerful thing. I ran across this. I want to read it to you. Because the world has made women feel insignificant. The world has made mothers feel like they're wasting their time. You really could be productive somewhere in the world. And I ran across this in a magazine. It was taken from the Ladies' Home Journal from July 1910. It's been around a long time. It says, a woman will often envy a man his chance to go out into the world and make laws. But in comparison, what is the lawmaker to the man maker? Which do you think would make the better man? The boy who is taught by his mother to pass a wide open saloon, or the boy from whose vision every saloon is removed by law? Which do you think would be more practically effective today? Better housekeeping and greater competency in the cooking of man's food by women, making it impossible for the saloon keeper to compete successfully with the home, or no life and laws as enacted by men? Which can do the greater work today in raising the moral standards of our young people? The mother at the awakening periods in a child's life, when the child at her knee and kneeling beside him at his bed at the close of day, when he offers up his petition for help, are the statutes of the states that men have written on the books. Which brings to the little mind of the child his first realization of what is moral and what is immoral? The law of the state, which he cannot even read, or the teachings of the mother's voice that the child does understand and knows and loves? Is it the law that man has written that tells the child, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie? Or is it the mother with the child in her lap after the first piece of sugar has been stolen from the sugar bowl, or the first lie spoken? Man in the world writing its laws is not to be compared with the woman in the home making its laws. Born of a woman as a babe, taught by a woman as a boy, loved by a woman as a man. He, the lawmaker, but she, the man-maker. So you see what an important place the woman has in the home and how important it is for the woman to be in her place. So that's why I did this about Jezebel. So now we're just going to take dominion over her, cut the front legs of her throne and let it topple over and remove her from her place so that our families can be whole and healthy, that our men, our godly men can come forth and our godly women can be in their places so that the home can be healthy. Thereby, our churches will be healthier and our nation will be healthier. So if everybody will just move around a little bit, get yourself woken up. Jezebel, calling all Jezebels. Frank Morzillo used to say, we're having a coming out party. We're coming out of the closet. Okay, so Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of Jezebel in this house and over every spirit of Jezebel in the church. In Jesus' name, I bind you. You've been exposed. The light of God has been shown upon you. And we bind you right now in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's people. Leave the homes. Leave the church in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of bossiness, aggressiveness, pushiness, forcefulness, overbearing. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to come out of God's people right now. Men, if it's in the man or the woman, come out in Jesus' name. Every plotting, conniving, scheming spirit, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Every manipulative spirit of control, that spirit that wants to take over, I bind you right now in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of the women of God and the men of God in Jesus' name. You know-it-all spirit, I bind you and command you to go right now in Jesus' name, thinking you know it all. Expert at everything, I come against that spirit of perfectionism in Jesus' name. All spirits of perfectionism. Got to have every I dotted, every cross T, every loop made just like this. Critical spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against every critical spirit. I come against the spirit of rebellion in Jesus' name. You stiff-necked, rebelled spirit of Jezebel, come out in Jesus' name. That serpentine spirit that goes along with Jezebel, I speak to that serpentine spirit. Loose the people of God right now in Jesus' name. Loose the people of God in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of pride in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride go in the name of Jesus. Pride, come out. Come out of God's people. There's no room for pride in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of anger. Oh, that anger, angry all the time, throwing temper tantrums, the spirit of rage, go in Jesus' name. That argumentative, want-to-fight spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Throwing temper tantrums and crying and all these wiles of Jezebel, I bind you in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of jealousy. All spirits of jealousy, come out in Jesus' name. All those jealous spirits, I bind you and command you to go. Bitterness, anger, and resentment, unforgiveness, I bind you and command you to come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of bitterness, anger, resentment, and unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. And I speak to the spirit of arthritis that goes with it, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of arthritis, go. Headaches, go. Backaches, go in Jesus' name. That venomous, sharp tongue, I command that spirit of Jezebel to come out of the tongues in Jesus' name. Come out of the mouths in Jesus' name. Come out of the eyes in Jesus' name. Come out of the uterus in Jesus' name. She'll set up a web right in the middle section of your body. If you're a man, it'll be maybe in the male organs. Females, it'll be in the female organs. So I just command every web of Jezebel to be torn down right now in Jesus' name. I call on the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn it up right now in Jesus' name. And I tear down that altar of Jezebel. I tear down that altar of idolatry in Jesus' name. I come against the religious spirit, that letter of the law. That spirit of the Pharisee, come out in Jesus' name. So worried about laws and rules and all that stuff in the name of Jesus that blocks out the whole. They will not even see the miracle because he's doing something on the Sabbath. I just speak death to that religious spirit in Jesus' name. I come against all slanderous spirits and character assassination in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All slanderous and character assassination. The busybody spirit going around and gossiping in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft control, psychic witchcraft control, go in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go in the name of Jesus. Come out. We loose you now in the name of Jesus from the spirit of Jezebel, that serpentine spirit. I sever the head now in Jesus' name. I come against the man-hating spirit. All man-hating spirits, come out in Jesus' name. I come against masculine women and feminine men in the name of Jesus. I say, mighty men of God, come forth. Mighty women of God, come forth in Jesus' name. Rebellion. I come against all spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of Leviathan, that stiff-necked, rebel, stubborn spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to come out of God's people in Jesus' name. I come against that see-me spirit. See me, look at me, notice me, flashy, obnoxious, loud, in Jesus' name. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of bondage, alcohol, drugs, overeating. In the name of Jesus, come out, loose her, and let her go in Jesus' name. Loose her. I bind the spirit of the witch in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Murder and rage, anger, come out in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against all the seeds of Jezebel in the womb, in the breast, in the female organs. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I speak to the strong man of Jezebel. Come out in Jesus' name. We bind you in the name of Jesus. All those spirits of jealousy and insecurity and possessiveness, go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I come against fantasy in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fantasy and fear. I come against the spirits of fear. All fear spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the light of your word that shines in dark places. Lord, I thank you that you will finish the work that you've begun today. We thank you, Lord, because we want to be free. And we want to live lives that please you, Lord, and that glorify you. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. Thank you.